Anyway, today we want to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. Now, your theme is grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, really. It's so wonderful to look at the book of Romans, because the book of Romans gives to us not just doctrinal teachings in the first 11 chapters, but from 12 onwards, we're going to see the practical application, what it means to be in the body of Christ. That's why chapter 12 starts with a plea by Apostle Paul in the context of offering ourselves unto the Lord. And in what way? Right? First of all, to present our bodies before God. As He has saved us, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And so we are grateful for what God has done in our lives. And that is expressed by giving our lives back to God to fulfill His will and purpose. We exist in this earth not just for mere existence, not just to build our own castle, but there's a will and purpose for God to work in and through us. And here in chapter 12, continuing on the theme of presenting our bodies unto the Lord Jesus Christ, is the call to serve the Lord. So our lives can be meaningful. So our lives can be instruments of righteousness for God's use. So that whatever we live, each day we open our eyes, Lord, what would Thou have me to do that I may further Thy will and purpose in each of our lives? And I believe in praying such a prayer, you will be able to realize the theme that you set for this year. Someone just said, each day I open my eyes is a bonus. There are those who just sleeps the night away and awake in eternity. Right? So we thank God. Offering ourselves as a living sacrifice also means that, well, we sit still. No, we need to serve the Lord. So the first characteristics of finding our function in the church is to just examine ourselves in the light of our service towards God. How can my life live to the glory of God? How can my life be made useful? And that is to serve the Lord in the ministry He has set before us. We have a calling unto salvation, but we have a calling unto service, which nobody, right, outside of Christ can do. That's the only work for Jesus only you can do. And we, as God's channel of grace and blessing, will put that effectively in our lives. Okay? So, if you look at verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, this is Apostle Paul speaking, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So as we grow older in faith, we hope we advance our faith and we practice our faith. And in doing so, in the work of service, the most important thing is to watch our attitude. All right? It's a very important thing. Attitude plays a very important part when fulfilling our roles and responsibilities, whether in the home or in any environment in our workplace. This is most critical, especially when we are in the front line of service. Right? And we want to serve the Lord. Can you imagine, even in the secular world? Right? Once I was at this Chinese restaurant, and my children brought me for Father's Day, I think quite recently. Right? Today is Mother's Day. Anyway, a blessed and happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Right, for your love and devotion. But I was there, and then there was one this waitress who came in and then just plonked the condiment. You know the condiment set with all the chili and pepper and then plonked there. A short moment later, she just grabbed it and took it off. We had ordered our food, and then before we could even ladle those things into small things, already disappeared. What kind of service is this? Plonked there and then suddenly disappeared. That was the use of putting it there. And then my daughter said, no, Daddy, don't worry. You know, let's go and see. You know, see. So we met the captain there and said, sorry, do you mind if we can have the condiment back? Our food is coming, we're going to ladle that. Say, so rude, a lady. You know? Oh, so sorry, it's not that. You see, she is given the task of making sure that when the guest comes in, they have their condiment set. And sorry, we have a shortage of that set. And then when they put in, she thought that you have ladle, she quickly took it back to go another table and all that. But you see, in our perspective, we think it is what? What? Rude, right? Right. But he was very apologetic. The captain was very apologetic. It's no excuse. I'm very, very sorry. Isn't that? You see, it's an attitude. Then we receive it, yes. Poor girl, you know, she was put the responsibility, then she cannot help it, right? And a manager or a captain is looking, so she had to fulfill her duties. But when we put the issue, they accept, they apologize. And then we say, or else you say, you're so rude, I don't want to go to this restaurant anymore. It's right, and it's true. And so if it's true in the secular thing, it's also true in our service to the Lord. So whatever position we hold, right, in a measure of our faith, right, the higher you go, the more humble you are. And that is how it is. Right? Our Lord Jesus Christ was the example. He who is God humbled himself, took on the form of a man, and when a man suffered and died for us. Right? Would we ever want to do that? He could have summoned 12 legions of angels to deliver him, but he didn't. He came to accomplish his purpose. Right? He came to serve, not to be served, and gave his life a ransom for many. That's his attitude, right? And so how can we, when we want to serve the Lord, we say, hey, look, I walk in here and I say, hey, look, please, what position you have? And this has happened before. One man, he says, I joined the church. He went to tell the pastor, I want to be in the session. You know, I want to be a deacon. I will give of myself to serve. I will this and that. Yes, you aspire to be office. Serve humbly. People will know how to call you. Pray about it. Right? Go about doing what you can. And when people observe your love, your commitment, your devotion to the Lord, the way you can be made useful for the ministry, I'm sure the pastor, the elder looking around will say, hey, that's the man that we could use. That's the person that we can bring in. That's very useful. So there's always a niche. Never aspire to high office. Right? So that is the understanding. So I just want to also share another experience to tell you, to emphasize this. When I was working for an American company, wow, I walked in there and they say, okay, you're appointed sales executive. I came, okay. I came on the first day of work. I came with tie, everything. I walk in. You know, report for work, sir. Okay, good. Sit down. After that, he called my sales director. He called somebody. Give him a T-shirt. Nice wrap T-shirt. Sorry, this is for you. What? Change. Where to change? Wear a T-shirt. Go and pull bulk. You know what is pull bulk? Those air freighting coming down. Then those forklift, you know, let's go out. And then they pull all the thing from the plane, you know. The cargo loaded down. And then you're going to pull up. Go to the warehouse, take a manifest, mark down the item, open up, any damage, take photograph. You know how? We walk our way up. Although we are salespeople, we are frontline people. But what must we do? We start from the bottom. Why? To teach us how to be humble. Because we will complain, how come the shipment didn't come here? What damage? You never claim, you never do this, you never do that. How hard it is for those people that are on the ground. On the ground. Right? They want me to experience it. Swear. You think you wear nicely, you drive your car in, you have to go and sweat first. And that's how they train you. And we expect. From the way down, we went and we know how to do tracking of those things. Those days, no computer kind of thing. We have to do individual tracking, telex, and all that kind of thing. You see? Why? Then we have the mind of those people that work all their way up. When the thing landed, how they clear for the bank. And in the middle of night, 3 a.m., I had to go all the way to the warehouse, take the item, went all the way, and still Bedok, you know, last time there was a national factory there, I had to deliver me. That's not actually my job. But I was made to know that how, when things are urgent, they ship in, you have to deliver, you deliver. So I know how it is. Humble myself. I had to do it so that I know that down the line, people are supporting me, and I'm supporting other people as well. Okay? And I want this to be understood, because the church is a living organism. We need to depend on one another. All right? That's why we should not say, I must enter a high office because, look, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I don't do this menial service. No way. At one stage, I have 4 doctors in my church. None of them hold office. And the last doctor left for migrated to Melbourne. It doesn't mean you're a doctor, you need to. I'm sorry, I apologize if there are any doctors here. Yeah. None of them hold office. Right? So that's it. Right? For us, we must understand humility. That's the main thing. Never enter in and think that I'm somebody, don't give me menial jobs. Okay? Secondly, verse 4, we see diversity. We must be prepared to know that the church has many comprises of the elect, yes, the Christians. Oh, Christians should know better, you know. If they are sinners, I can understand, I can accept them. But, you know, they should jolly well toe the line there. No, we have various levels of faith. And we have very different backgrounds and stations in life and strata of society. Some of them may be in high offices, some of them are working in the shipyard, some of them construction, some of them are schooling and all that. So always understand, right? Look, that's why Paul, first thing, talks about humility. Secondly, diversity. Accept that the work of the Lord requires us to understand that there's diversity in the church. Right? Not everybody thinks the same way like we do. That we want to serve the Lord, humility, and recognize diversity. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Yes, not everybody can be a pastor, not everybody can preach, not everybody can be a Sunday school teacher. Right? So that's it. It's a living organism. Each has differing gifts. Okay? I can't play the piano. My daughter could. Right? So, all members have not the same office. Hence, we are gifted differently. So, there is a diversity that there must be unity of service. And how wonderful it is. Because in diversity, then we can function and be the best in the role that God has fitted us. Right? We each do our part, and the work is done speedily and effectively. Right? I just want to show you, last time in those Bahrain days, when we finished the whole place, you know why Pastor Richard is very happy with us? Because we mopped the floor. We mopped the whole floor. You know, we clear up all the rubbish. You know? And they are very, very happy. Huh? You rent out the premises and everything, they clean for you. There was a cleaning lady here. I think this man that took over just now, I met him downstairs, was 9 years ago. That was about 12 years or 14 years ago. Right. And she was here. She was only one lady. Cleaned the whole place, you know, the new place and here. And Pastor Richard was very happy. We cleaned the whole place. And how do we do it? Not one person. All the young people take and, carry water, this, that, you know, some clear. And then we leave the place. And they're very happy with us. That's true. We do our part. Right? So, in our churches, some are excellent preachers. But others struggle to provide solid pastoral care. So they are very good preachers. But You know, so the elders maybe can come in if they are pastors in this area. Very good preachers, very strong preachers, very good, right? But the elders could help out, the deacons could help out. Others have good organizational skills. And then they like to meet, they like to do projections, planning and all that. And still all the, some may just do all the planning and all the talk, but nothing done. So what do you call these people? They keep the minutes, but while away the hours. We have people like that, right? I know recently one pastor shared with me, he said, this guy cannot be, you know, that's it. We have to call it off, you know. And they sent him somewhere to be trained as an academic in the long run. Cannot do the pastoral work because a lot of planning and somewhere, somehow, things are not done, okay? So we must understand. Right? So as bodies of believers, we must know how to relate as well to accommodate one another. Not all of us think this way, right? Not all of us think another way, right? For example, FEBC, okay? All right, if you want to see FEBC case, when we went for the court case, initially we lost, right? Does it mean the judge was wrong? No. She saw a different perspective, right? You separate entity, you separate entity, but now this property belongs to Life BP Church, so, well, as a separate entity, then you are actually alien in the land, you should move. You get me? Huh? But when on our appeal, how do the other appeal judges, how did they see it? They saw it as a man raised by the Lord who desires, right, to not just have the church, but have a widow and then the prophet, right? And then to set up this one. And they are interconnected as a full body. And they function together to build up this place. You see? And to buy this property. And so the appeal judges saw it in another perspective. But doesn't mean, this first judge wrong, very bad, very cruel. No. Right? The appeal judges saw it another perspective, which is the very, very heart of our founding pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh. You see? So they administer, Singapore has one of the best jurisprudence in the world, right? And they did right. There was no on-the-table money, no corruption, no nothing. You see? So sometimes we have to see things in different perspectives. Okay? They only saw the two different entities. Whereas the appeal judge saw the heart of the man that actually established it as a full of ministry. And that should be the way that it should be run. So, always understand, we want certain things to move. Present our case, get people together, and work together. Right? And that's the way to do things. Huh? So, we must understand, we literally labor, okay? Right? Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith to that level. Ministry, let us wait on ministering. And he that teaches, on teaching. So there are different stress, different areas in the church. The teaching, there's the preaching ministry, there's all other ministries, but they all come under the full control of the church leadership and the various functions. Now, talking about the body life, of course, 1 Corinthians 12 is the classic one. The hand will move and this and that, you know. Correct? So you want to take food? Oh, you think, I like this one. I take the chicken first. Then your brain will tell your hand to move forward. And it's like that. You want to do evangelism, you want to do mission, you want to support FEBC student, you want to set up a mission station in Nepal, you know, and who to go and what to do, you know. Are you going to build a church now or are you going to buy the property and encourage the people to build the church? You know, different churches have different perspective. For example, Calvary Jaya, they recently went to Thailand and Chiang Rai and Changkong is a new outreach. They went there, they say, hey, we need a permanent place. Yes. Now rented place, but rented place going to be torn down and they want to redo something. So they rented another place. But in the meanwhile, they bought a property. But did they quickly build it up and quickly move the church there? No. Why? Because they have prayed about it and they want the people to build the church. So the church belongs to them. They have a sense that we have contributed. Not all the foreign money pour in and then we do nothing. You know, when people do nothing about it and everything is presented to them, they tend to be very lax, right? And so that was how they planned and they pray about it and they went about it. And they encourage and challenge the people. This is your church. This belongs to you. We are just coming in to help and to build it up. And please, this is your ministry. We want to help you, but not spoon feed you. Right? We can give you the spiritual input. We can give you areas where you lack. But whatever you can do, leave it to them to do. Is it wise? In my opinion, I think it's wise. Right? So that this is my church. We built it. We bought the thing. We knock it. We nail the pews. You know? That's it. So always understand this. We need people to help us. The drivers of the church van need somebody to know the route. Right? To pick up the children. And somebody to go down and see the small ones that climb up. You know? Young lady to help out. Yeah. And that was it. When I drove the Life Church van, I want to know about Toa Payoh. I volunteered to drive the Life Church van through Toa Payoh for 5 days for the DBBS. Pick up the children. So I know now Avenue 1, Avenue 2. You know, I turn around to Toa Payoh, turn and turn and turn and turn. After 1 week, I know Toa Payoh by heart. But I need somebody to watch behind, see the children are properly there, here, there, the other, before I go around. So it's like that. Any project, see what you can do. Is there a church camp coming? Who do you want to do planning with? Right. So these are the things. Okay. So now we come to the ministry in the body life. First of all, humility. The attitude. That whatever God wants me to do, I will do. It's not high office that I aspire. The second thing is recognize diversity. But yet in that unity of service. Diversity and unity. So that we can do the work of God by giving our best. Okay? Then this is what we call now ministry. Ministry in the body life. These are the charismata. Having then gifts in verse 6. The word give is charismata. That's where you get charismatic. Alright? Charis is grace. Alright? These are called grace gifts. Alright? Because it's a noun. Charismata. Alright? So it's plural. So gifts bestowed graciously upon God's people to serve in His church. Right? So there is no one in the church who is truly a regenerate who says, hey, I cannot do anything in the church. They all do this. I'm actually a spare tire. You know, I just attend. I'm faithful to attend church. That's all. I don't ask you to do anything. Right? No. I believe. And I believe with the hymn writer, there's a work for Jesus only you can do. What can I do? If not at all, can you pray for the pulpit ministry every Sunday? How many of you cannot do that? Cannot do that. Pray for the mothers on Mother's Day once a year. Can do that? Can, of course. Right. So there are many things you want to do, you can do. Can you pray for the mission field? Can you pray for your church in Nepal? Can. Why not? Right. Name it. It can be there. You can take a family and pray for the family. They are struggling. You can pray for someone who is out of a job. You can pray for someone who is, you know, is down. You can pray for the students. Some of them are struggling in their exams. You can pray for someone that is having a project work and having terrible project mates that are not contributing. That's a very, very stressful thing to do to a person. Huh? The project mates are not contributing and you know that four of you are there but three of you are working and that one is dragging his feet and then, you feel very mangchan. You can help. Pray. Right? So everyone is gifted. God's word tells us that the above are all lame excuses. Whosoever speaks in this way is actually belittling God's word. Okay? Verse 6b, listed here for consideration are the gifts of prophecy. Now, the word prophecy here, the Holy Scriptures is complete. That which is perfect has come, the imperfect is gone. So we don't need the extra prophecy, right? So if people who say, oh, look, I can see to the future, Jesus spoke to me, this thing will happen. You know, I know many churches, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, they share me, oh, we can't find this place, you know. Once we went to a wake, they got lost, and they say, oh, I can't find this place, because, you know, my pastor this morning was saying, well, somewhere out in the west area, there's some forces down there. That's why now we come over this way, we have to go round and round, and we are late, because my pastor said there's somewhere in the last area. I don't know what is going on, you know. So it is not, foretelling the future. Right? If you want foretelling the future, the book of Revelation will tell you what is going to happen in the future. Go and do the eschatology. Right? The prophetic office has also ceased. Right? So today we don't have prophets. Right? What we have here in the sense when Apostle Paul says a prophecy here is not new revelation, but the truths of God's word, Holy Scriptures. Today, prophecy is not foretelling the future, but telling forth the truth of God. Right? In a literal sense, by reiterating God's word and bringing the truth clearly to the people. That's what you call foretelling. Right? To minister to God's people, and this is at every level, to the proportion of faith. Right? Some of us can... young in faith, we built up. Whatever it is, line upon line, precept upon precept, we take in. So the foretelling, of course, includes the preaching of the gospel for the salvation of souls. So God's gift of preachers, pastors, evangelists today is for the ministry of His word. Okay? Not for some powerful preacher that would stand up there and tell you about future and the west area, there's a blockade. That's why tonight they were late for the wake and we all had to wait for them. That's all terrible. Huh? Look at verse 7 now. Or ministry, right? What's the word ministry? The ministry is a Greek word where we get our English word called deacon. That is to serve, right? Service. Often manual, all right? The diakonos always refers to the manual. Manual work. But it's always... often it's manual, but it's always spiritual. Why? Because it's ministry. Why? Because it's God's church. Why? Because it's God's work. So here, the ministry here, right, these are often spiritual, but it requires manual work, like fetching people from MRT and all that kind of thing. Like what I think you all did there, right, to bring them here because they have to wait for a number 2 bus, they'll wait here and there. And old folks sometimes need this kind of transport. Remember, the first appointed deacons was in the New Testament church. Remember? And they were selected. What were they selected for? These were not ordained office. But they were selected to minister to the widows that were left out of the distribution. The welfare, taking care of the welfare. So it's more of a... not a spiritual aspect per se, but yet it's spiritual work as a church ministers to the needy and make sure that distributions were made properly. Okay? So this is the work of the deacon, but it's always spiritual, right? But you also see a aspect of this where the deacons, who was Deacon Philip? Philip the evangelist. He was the one who converted the eunuch. Right? Okay. What's another deacon? Deacon Stephen. Right? He was stoned as a martyr, but before he died, he preached a so powerful message concerning the Messiah of God that the Jews were so angry they stoned him. They say he blasphemed. You see? And they have a very spiritual mind. They were really well-versed men of God's word. Right? So deacons never take our task lightly. whatever area we are serving, although we are not in the ordained office. Right? So, others have gift of teaching. All right? The teaching here is didaskalos, is a teacher, right? Didache, right? Didactic teaching. They are good with children, right? Excellent as Sunday school teachers. They have this gift, right? You met someone who was a very, very, very good teacher. They can make the children laugh, they can make the children cry, they can act and then make them serious, you know? They are very, very good with children. So this is the ministry. All right, ministering to children is no easy task, you know. They will get around. And I still remember some years ago, right, when Helen Eel, you know, Samuel Eel's father, Samuel Eel is now working in True Life PP Church, right? And the mother was very interesting. When she was alive, we were in commandment. And I realized this, that she saw this boy, you know, from a non-Christian home. Wow, he's like a gangster, you know, he lead the whole group of people, you know, tell them, shut up, this, that, the other. And every time cause a row. So she was very wise. She talked to him and said, I make you leader, okay? When I teach, if they have to sit properly, and then make sure they don't fight with this and that, the other, I will help you. You help me, Ken? He says, yes. And from there on, he was the one ordering and creating peace for her. So that her class could carry on. Right? How wonderful you have this kind of gift. You recognize and you put the responsibility on the young boy and he kept the class peaceful for you to teach God's word. How wonderful, right? And this kind of gift to recognize and to apply, it's not easy. Right? It's not all of us can deal with that. I know I can relate to children, but not for long. You know, I can talk to them and, you know, play with them. Right? And some people have these gifts to reach out. And I also remember, in evangelism, I go and distribute tract, and I don't get opportunity to speak to people. Each time I want to speak to them, after a little while, they just go off. But different, Uncle Hock Leong's wife, Celeste, whenever she talks to people, people talk to her. And then the way that they are, they are brought to church. Interesting, right? So sometimes we may not have that gift. But we look at another person. That person is gifted in another way. Right? So let's minister. Right? Others work effectively with young people. Some with old folks. Elder William Chia for one. Alright? Verse 8a. He that exhorteth. Alright? On exhortation. Okay? He who speaks to encourage. The same word is used of the Holy Spirit. One that comes alongside and helps out to support you through. That is the parakaleo, called alongside in a way of help. And so, this was the way in which God would work. Can we be someone that encourages another? I tell you in the Bible that wonderful proof is one man, the son of encouragement. Who was he? Barnabas. Without Barnabas, where will Paul be? You and I will not be reading the epistles of Paul. It's about more than half the New Testament. You know that? Barnabas was the one who went and vouchsafed for Paul. Right? All the way. And even summoned Paul to come and help him to do the ministry. And yet, subsequently, he played second fiddle to Paul. He didn't mind. What a man. I'd like to meet Barnabas when I go to heaven. Would you want to do that? Yes. And ask him, how could you? And later when they had disputed, he went his way. Paul went his way. Nothing was heard of him. But never mind. As long as the gospel can carry on. I believe that was in Barnabas' heart. Right? So can we ask the Lord, if there's nothing for me to do, Lord, show me a place. Show me a person. Show me a situation where I can help someone along life's way. Perhaps a call. Perhaps an SMS. Perhaps an email. Perhaps a lunch date. to just help the person. That's why sometimes my wife says, "Hey, dear, let me just go and have lunch with this person, that person." I say, "Yeah, carry on." They minister to the ladies and they go for lunch break that an hour. And that little bit of time is always meaningful and beneficial. That's important. Will we not do that? Think about it. Right? Perhaps there's someone that God is speaking to us to share the gospel, to reach out and comfort. Okay? He that giveth. Alright? Alright? Those who give of themselves either in sharing their Christian experiences to enrich another person, or sharing their faith, or those who literally contribute towards the church ministry, meaning in financial things. Right? Recently, a church was short on their building extension project. I was quite concerned, and I said, "Well, maybe we could help you somehow." Then this pastor told me, he said, "Pastor Imo, no problem. Somebody just gave us a draft for 100K. Wow. I hope. Amazing. Somebody just gave 100K out of the blue. Well, when I read that weekly, I say, "Hey, how come? Wow. Shot for 800K or something like that. Or 700K and somebody just killed it by another digit. And right in front of the digit. If it's 700, it's now 600. And you come down. If we are willing to give with simplicity, without awe, you know, I give with ulterior motive. You make me the chairman of the mission board. You know, or you do something for me." Yeah. Give with simplicity, without any strings tied, without any ulterior motive. Right? He that ruleth, this is important. He that ruleth, here it means to sit, to guide and direct. Right? With diligence. The word here, diligence, is forwardness. There's an earnestness to do so. So hence, there are ruling elders, there are teaching elders. Right? And all must be earnest. Earnest to serve the Lord. Right? And they are to do it not out of filthy lucre. Not to lord over God's flock. But do it with the humility of mind and heart. And they say, it says that, remember 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine." So there will, God will raise among us those elders who are rich in faith and deep in the word. And so do we aspire to such an office? Start from now. If we have that desire that God can use us, it's nothing wrong to pray for God's leading. Alright. Those who showeth mercy, right? He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, right? Those with a tender heart of compassion. And this is a fine Christian virtue. Not all of us have a soft heart, right? Sometimes things move us. Sometimes the situation moves us, right? That's why that day when I saw, right, on the news how the mother could beat the child that way, I was very, very, very sad. That moved me. I said, "Poor child, if a mother could do that to the child, how sad," right? Things move us. But situation in the church, people in the church, all the more should move us because they are God's people. If they are weak, if they need encouragement, you know, right? That's why it's good also for people, and I'm thankful Tabernacle has a ministry among the seniors. There are those who have ministry among the old folks' home, children's home. Gethsemane is doing one at the Lions Home in Bedok South, you see? And so by God's grace, it opens up the door. We do minister. And yours is just in Simei, right? It's a ministry to show compassion. And I believe when I was working with your former pastor, Reverend Ronnie Koo, we used to go to the Amoy old folks' home. We carry them and we play the Hokkien tape or Teochew tape to them. And we minister to them, right? And this is a heart of compassion where we really see them. It's very, very hard. Some of them plead for us to go and call my relative and this and that. And so we did. There was one case where we went to Farrer Park. The relative was a hawker stall, coffee stall, and we went down there and said, can you please go and ask them to at least visit me, because they have not visited me for so many months. And so we went. And then when the relative visited, the next time we visit, he was very happy. He said, thank you so much. You know, I haven't seen them for some time. They are my relatives. So if we do this, we somehow encourage somebody's heart. Right? And so this is it. How do I find that niche? Not all are called to be preachers. Remember that. Right? Pastors or ministers of God's word. Some are called simply to serve as drivers. Right? To do accounts. Right? Thank God. I can do accounts, but I cannot keep account for the church. You know, I wouldn't like it. Right? When we were not registered, I was keeping the accounts. Right? But then, we thank God. I was talking to a Christian brother who is now worshipping in Calvary Pandan. And he said, why you struggle with that? Give it to me. I say, are you sure? You're a stock trader, you know. investment advisor, how can I give that? Don't worry, my wife will do it for you. And I thank God. You know, everything done, and then in a little while, now they have computerized, right? Double entry very fast. Everything comes out. I said, thank God. I gave it within the month, the whole thing returned to me. And this coming week, Elder John Leong is preaching at our anniversary, and then I'm presenting the accounts. No problem. Just open your mouth, and that's a work that the Lord can do. And this lady just willingly came in. Right? So, although each is different in makeup, we know God made it a special way. Because if you are not a hand, somebody can be a hand. If you're not a leg to bring somebody in, somebody can drive there and bring them in. You see? So, that's a work that you and I can do. So, we find it difficult to fit somehow to serve. Never mind. First of all, what do you start? Pray. Then be humble. Lord, open the door. I'm patient to wait. Right? I'm patient to serve. Yes, I recognize there are so many things to be done. But show me an area where I can be useful. If you have to, if you move, speak to the leaders about it. Can I be in any way to help out? Or can I pray for certain parts of the mission? Put it under my prayer list. I would like to do that. Start somewhere. Start somehow. And I assure the blessing of the Lord be with you. So pray much and work well. I believe the Lord will bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful, always mindful that thou hast programmed in us a special gift, a special talent, a special niche where we can be made useful. O Lord, we pray thou be our strength and our help. Give us a humble heart. We can have a small beginning, but there is always thy leading, which is the best, and thou prosper our work to thy own glory and praise. And bless this church as thou hast established them here. Thou will surely, Lord, expand their ministry, extend the tent of the gospel ministry in their midst. Thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness and thy grace, and be with us even for this rest of this week, that we may be made useful for the gospel. Thank thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.